Welcome to our new Bible study on Philippians, and this is day one. It's a letter that was written by Paul and Timothy and sent to the church in Philippi. And the main theme of this letter is joy. Paul is writing to the church to tell them about joy. And I wonder where the best place might be if you were trying to write a letter about joy. Perhaps you would want to be on holiday, or at the very least you'd want to be in Port Stewart Strand on a nice sunny day. You'd probably want to be relaxed, have your favourite food to eat, listening to some soothing music. In all those things were in place, you could then perhaps be in the right frame of mind to write about joy. But this letter, written to the church in Philippi, was actually written from a prison cell. Not ideal for writing about joy. And yet that is where we find Paul and Timothy, in a prison cell. And yet they are able to write about joy and to tell the early Christians how they can find joy. And this joy is not a frivolous joy. It's not just a superficial happiness that Paul is writing about. It's a deep, hard-fought joy that can stand up to anything that the world throws at us. Joy, I'm sure you have seen it before, where someone has said, joy is about getting your priorities right in life. You put Jesus first in life. And whenever Jesus is first, then you can know joy in your heart. Once you've put Jesus first, then you put others second and think about the needs of others and the needs of those around us. And then we put ourselves in third place. It's not that we think less of ourselves, but we just make Jesus and others a priority. And then our own lives will fit into place, and then we'll know what God wants us to do. So in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 1, we've got Paul and we've got Timothy. And they are putting Jesus Christ first because they're saying that they are servants of Jesus Christ. And so they're looking to Jesus and they're finding their identity in him. They're then thinking about others. They're thinking about all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi. And that's where they're sending the letter to. Together with all the overseers and the deacons. All those who gather together as church in Philippi. And so Paul and Timothy are finding joy in their relationship with Jesus and in their relationship with the members of the church in Philippi. And they write to bring grace and peace to the early church. Not a grace and peace that's just a nice little wish for them, for the people of the church. It comes from God. This is a blessing from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That anything that Paul and Timothy have to offer comes from God. Anything of worth that they have in their lives comes from God. So we'll be thinking over the next few days about them being in this prison cell, about them being locked in, and yet still being able to have joy and being able to reach out with that joy to others. Even though they can't physically go to this church, they're in contact with the members of this church. And of course, the parallels for us today is that we're locked down. We may not be in prison. We have certain freedoms and certain restrictions are being lifted all the time. But we're not able to meet together. And yet we still are able to reach out with the joy of the gospel and to pray God's grace and peace to those who are in Christ Jesus. So, why not take a moment today to give thanks to God for the joy that we have? Even just write down a few joyful things that are in our lives at the moment. Because we can so easily focus on the things that we don't have that we forget about what God has given to us at this time. We come to verses 3 to 11 today in Philippians chapter 1. Paul is in prison and he's writing to the church in Philippi. And we're going to discover once again that he is filled with joy. And as we look at verses 3 to 11, we find out that he has joy because he is a partner in the gospel with the Philippian Christians. And that partnership in the gospel, being joined with those other Christians, brings joy to Paul. Even though he's locked up in prison, even though he can't go to be with them, he is still filled with joy because of the gospel and because he is joined with them. He planted that church in Philippi, and now from a distance, he is watching what's going on. He's hearing reports about what's happening in Philippi, and he is joyful. Even though he's suffering, even though he's locked up, he is thanking God for them. And he's saying that every time, this isn't just a one-off prayer that Paul offers. He says, every time I remember you, I thank God for you. And so he has this joy and partnership, as he goes on to say in verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. There's that word cropping up again. And why does he have the joy? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. It's important for Paul that he's not on his own. It's important for Paul that as a follower of Jesus Christ, he's not just a one-man show, but he's joined with all these other believers. And that's what makes church so important, that we are joined with each other, that we have this partnership in the gospel. And that is what we struggle with a little bit through this lockdown, where we're kept apart. And yet we still have this partnership in the gospel. We can still pray for one another. And whenever you pray for somebody else, you're automatically connected spiritually with that person. You're likely to remember them more. You're likely to think about them more. You're likely to be concerned about their needs more. And so Paul encourages us through this prayer to have a partnership with other believers, a partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we care about the salvation of others, that we encourage others in salvation, that we look out for others. So in this time of lockdown, think about others. Pray for others. Remember the partnership that we have and that we long to have whenever we come back together again. It's all very well having all these things online, being able to worship on a Sunday, having these Bible studies, being able to read the blog each day, but it is no substitute for being together. And so we need to remember that. And Paul here, as he goes on in verse 6, says he is confident of this, that the Lord God, who began a good work in all of the believers in Philippi, will complete it on the day of Christ. The day of Christ is when Jesus Christ will return. And so Paul, even at a distance, looks at them and says, look, God began something wonderful in you. He began a good work, and that good work will continue until it is completed. And Jesus Christ will make sure that you will not fall by the wayside. Jesus Christ will make sure that you do not give up. He will keep you, and he will continue with you in all that he does. And so Paul goes on in his prayer, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, he says. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. This idea of sharing, once again, it's the partnership. And the partnership is in the gospel. It's the gospel that brings them all together and encourages them together. It's the gospel that we share together and makes us brothers and sisters, united together in a spiritual way, much closer than brothers and sisters in blood, because we have the blood of Jesus Christ with us. And it's God's grace that enables us day by day. And Paul goes on in verse 8 and then on into verse 9. And this is my prayer. Remember, he's praying here for these Christians, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, that they would know Jesus Christ, and that they would be drawn deeper into his love, that it's not just a matter of knowledge, but it's also a matter of love. It's not just knowing about Jesus, but it's loving him and getting to know him better. And Paul prays this so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Here's this day of Christ again, when Jesus Christ is returning. He prays that these will be the blessings that they will have, that they will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, and that all of this will be done to the glory and the praise of God. This is a wonderful prayer that Paul prays for these Christians. And it's a prayer that each one of us today could be praying for one another. So take a moment today and read through these verses 3 to 11 and pray them. Pray these verses for someone that you know, for a believer that you want to encourage. Pray that they may have all these blessings that Paul has gone through. As Paul has directed these verses to the Philippian Christians, go through it and substitute somebody's name in there that the Lord has laid a burden in your heart for today. And then maybe text them or pick up the phone and call them and say, I was reading Philippians today, and I have prayed this for you, that you would know God's blessing, and that we would be partners in the gospel and know the joy that that brings in our lives. Today we find that we can have joy even whenever we are suffering if we advance the gospel. And that's what we see here in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul tells the church, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And because of that, Paul is delighted. Paul is again full of joy for what is happening with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verses 13 and 14, he goes on to tell us what is actually happening. He says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. The reason that he is being held is for Jesus Christ. And because of that, everyone is realizing, it's become clear throughout everyone that's holding him captive, the reason why he is being held. He goes on to say in verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged. What have they been encouraged to do? They've been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Here is Paul, who His whole purpose is to travel and go on missionary journeys and to tell people the good news of the gospel. But he's not able to do it. He's been imprisoned because of the gospel. And because he is being held back, others have been encouraged. And they're now speaking. And they're going out courageously and fearlessly. Where once they would have remained silent, now they are sharing the good news. And Paul is again full of joy. Paul could quite easily, in prison, complain about all the things that he's lost, about all the things that he can't do, about the way that he's suffering under the guards, the way that he is not allowed to go about freely, the way that he's been held back from all the churches. But as he says here, it has become clear through the whole palace guard, they have heard the testimony about Jesus Christ. And then everyone else has been encouraged. We could complain constantly about the things that we are missing because of lockdown and because of all that is happening around us. But let's look for the positive things. And let's be joyful at the advance of the gospel. Now, is the gospel advancing more under lockdown than it was before? I don't know. That's a hard question to answer. But the gospel is certainly advancing at this time. Even during lockdown, the gospel is advancing. People are searching for God and they are hearing the gospel. We have opportunities to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. We have opportunities to share messages with friends and with family who wouldn't normally listen, perhaps. And so the gospel is advancing. So like Paul, let's be full of joy because of the advance of the gospel. Paul goes on to say that there's some confusion as to the motives that some have for sharing the gospel. But he says, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false or true motives, Christ is preached. The important thing is Jesus Christ. Jesus should be what's important in our lives and the advance of his good news. And because of this, it brings Paul joy. He is rejoicing. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, he says. So today, let's take a moment and rejoice in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's rejoice in the good news that we have. And then, as Paul says, let's try and share it. Let's be encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Maybe tell someone the good news of the gospel that you're speaking to. Maybe share something that you've learnt over this lockdown period about God with someone who doesn't know him. Maybe send a little message. Or share something that has encouraged you so that we can all know the joy of the gospel advancing. Next, we see in verses 20 to 26 that we can have joy when we live and die for the gospel. And that's what Paul is saying here. Whether by life or by death, he wants Jesus Christ to be exalted in his body. He says in verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. This is how Paul is finding joy. By living and dying for the gospel. And that means that everything that he does is centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, he then goes on in verse 21 to say those really well-known words, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is one of those statements that is so simple to say, and yet to fully understand the impact of these few words could take us a lifetime. Paul realizes that for him, it would be much, much better to be with Christ. Christ is what he longs for. Christ is who he lives for. Christ is the most important person for him. So if he were to die, that would be to his gain, because then he would be with Christ. But he also realizes that for others, perhaps the benefit would be that he would stay on this earth and he would tell them about Jesus Christ as he lives each day for Christ. And so he's caught in this difficult balance as to what is the best way, what is the best to happen. And so he thinks about it, almost thinks out loud about it from verse 22 to verse 24. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. After all, he will be telling people about Jesus. He'll be living the example of Jesus. He'll be doing what Jesus has called him to do. Yet what shall I choose, he says. I don't know. And really, it isn't his choice to make. He says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. That's what he wants, Christ. That's better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So he's caught between what's better and what's necessary. And so often, we forget how great Jesus Christ is. And we assume that this world is the best. And we assume that this world is what is important. And we cling on to this world as much as we can. And yet Paul here is in this dilemma where he realizes that this world is only what's necessary. And the world to come is what is better. And so he says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. There's that word joy again. This is how Paul has joy. He lives for the gospel, but he's prepared to die for the gospel, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Jesus Christ will overflow on account of me. He has experienced joy himself, and now he prays that joy for the believers. The joy can only be in Jesus Christ. There's nowhere else that we can find joy. It's only in Jesus. And here we have this idea of overflowing blessing again. It's what we saw in the 23rd Psalm, where our cup overflows. And here Paul's prayer is that the joy that he experiences would be an example to the Philippian Christians, and that therefore they would have joy in Jesus, and that joy would overflow in their lives so that others can come to know Jesus. So take a moment today to think about life and to think also about death. Because we can't fully appreciate life unless we also understand death. And realize that joy in this world comes through life in Jesus Christ, but also through death in Jesus Christ. And then pray for someone else that they would know the joy of Jesus in their life and that that joy would overflow on account of your witness to them. Finally, in verses 27 to 30, we see that we can have joy whenever we are worthy of the gospel. This is what Paul says in verse 27, this concept of being worthy of the gospel of Christ. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, that's a difficult idea for us, because how could we ever be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ has died for us. Jesus Christ suffered for us. Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself. How could we ever be worthy of receiving that? But Paul here is telling us that if we live a life that is trusting in Jesus Christ, if we live a life that is worthy of him, then we will find joy. Suffering is something that will come our way in life, whether we want it or not, whether we like it or not. Suffering is part of what it is to be human. And there are two ways that suffering can come. Suffering can come in our lives because of something that we've done that's our own fault. We've done something and that has resulted in suffering. Or suffering can just come upon us through no fault of our own whatsoever. And Paul here is telling us that if we live a life that's unworthy of Jesus Christ, that has rejected him, that has gone against him, that has actively sinned against Jesus, then it will be very difficult to cope with the suffering that comes our way. That suffering will eat away at us. That suffering will cause untold damage to us. But if we're living a life that is worthy of Jesus, in that we are trusting in him, we're living life the way that he wants us to live, and even then we face suffering, we'll be able to have joy in that suffering because we know that it's for the gospel. And we know that Jesus is with us, and we know that we are trusting in him. Paul says to them to live these lives that are worthy of the gospel. He says, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. You see, each time the joy is found in the gospel, putting our faith in the gospel, standing firm for Jesus Christ, and doing that in the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. So Paul knows that he'll hear the testimony of these Christians if they're living lives that are worthy of the gospel of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 28, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. That whenever we live lives worthy of Christ, then Christ will protect us. That we need not be frightened. How many times in the Bible does God say to us, do not be afraid, because I am with you. And no matter who opposes us, Jesus will be with us. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Living a life worthy of Jesus Christ means that Jesus Christ has saved us. Jesus Christ has done all that we need, and we are simply trusting in him. It's not that we're trying to earn our life by being worthy. It's that we realize we can't earn our eternal life by being worthy. And so we simply trust in Jesus, and he makes us worthy. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now here that I still have. It's been granted to us. Salvation is a free gift. We believe on Jesus Christ, and he grants us forgiveness. But then we may have to suffer for him. Trusting in Jesus doesn't make everything okay. Trusting in Jesus doesn't take away the bad things that happen. We still may have to suffer. But because of Jesus, we can know joy even through that suffering. Paul had it, the same struggle you saw I had. And now the Philippians may have to suffer as well. But together in partnership, they will have joy. Together in advancing the gospel, they will have joy. Together as they live or die, they will have joy. And if they live lives that are worthy of Jesus Christ and the gospel, then they will know joy as well. So take a moment today to look at your life and to see if you're living worthy of the gospel of Christ. Have you received Jesus Christ's forgiveness? Have you accepted him as your saviour? Or are you still striving to try and do things on your own? Live a life worthy of him, and then find the joy that he alone can bring.